Well, the readings today touch upon two stories in sacred scripture which show us that God uses the unexpected, even hardship and suffering, to save us from the terrible effects of our own sins. First, there's the story of the Babylonian exile and King Cyrus of Persia. The first reading recounted how the Israelites failed to keep their covenant with God. They, it said, added infidelity to infidelity. They rejected God, so God let them wander away. He let them go. And without God, well, things didn't go so well for them. They were conquered by the Babylonians. They were taken from their homes, carted off to a foreign land, held captive for 70 years, unable to gain their freedom by any of their own efforts. That was the occasion that inspired today's psalm, actually. Their lament for their homeland. You know, they're off in Babylon. They want nothing more than to go home. And so this psalm expresses that experience. By the streams of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, meaning Jerusalem, where Mount Zion is, their temple, their home. So we should read that psalm with that in mind. It was written for a people forcibly taken from their homes while they saw their neighbors murdered. It was written for a people forced to live in exile for decades, longing to go home. Because of their sins and their unfaithfulness to God, they lost everything. They suffered. Eventually, though, God intervened. And when he did, he chose to do so using a kind of, actually a very unexpected instrument, King Cyrus of Persia. And I say unexpected because, well, Cyrus wasn't an Israelite. But God used him just the same to save the Israelites. See, when the Persians seized power, kicked out the Babylonians, well, the new guy in town, Persian, King Cyrus, was inspired by God, whether he knew God or not, whether he knew God was working through him or not, God was working through him to set the Israelites free so they could return home to Jerusalem. Cyrus even provided help to rebuild the temple, which, of course, the temple, that's the center of Jewish worship and life. So the people rejoiced that they were able to go home. So the second story mentioned in the scriptures today that has a similar theme is the scripture where Moses is lifting up the serpent in the desert. Now the Israelites, you might remember this situation, they had been freed from Egypt, from slavery there, and they set out across the desert. They're led by Moses, but they're hungry and thirsty because it's the desert. God provided miraculous food called manna, along with quail, to feed them. But eventually they get tired of that same old thing, and they complained, and they rebelled against God and Moses, saying, "We are disgusted with this wretched food." Some of them were so disgusted with it, they wanted to go back to slavery in Egypt. As a consequence of this rebellion, well, you rebel against God, things don't go well. In their case, poisonous snakes came and attacked them and ended up killing many of them. Moses prayed to God, and the Lord commanded him to make a, this is such a strange remedy, right? To make a bronze serpent mounted on a pole. And anyone who had been bitten, if they looked at it, they would be healed. And it did work. So, to recap that, they were bitten by venomous snakes and they were dying, and there was nothing they could do to save themselves. And then God intervened, and in his plan, an image of the very thing that was killing them, when lifted up, elevated, and looked upon, saved them from the consequences of their own sins. Now, these two stories, they share a theme. Having rejected God and suffered the effects of that rejection, the people were helpless to set things right. But in both cases, God intervened, using perhaps the most unexpected means in each case, to save the people. He still does the same thing for us. Jesus rightly, I think, described our world when he said, "The light," meaning himself, Jesus, "the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil." And there's a lot of evil in the world. I mean, we see it in the news, we see it in the politics, we see it all around us. But we also see it, I think, if we're honest, within our own hearts, because we're sinners and sin is everywhere. And, well, like those two stories, when we reject God, when we sin, we are suffering in countless ways because of our rejection of God. And just like in those two stories, we're powerless to help ourselves. We can't put a stop to the suffering on our own. Thankfully, however, again, God has intervened. As St. Paul made clear in our second reading, what God does for us is undeserved on our part. It's not something we could ever accomplish on our own. It's God's initiative. And what did he do? How did he intervene? Well, to quote probably the most famous passage maybe in the whole Bible, "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life." You know, the Israelites in the desert looked upon an image of something terrible, something evil, this serpent, the serpent who actually had been killing them. And they look upon this bronze image of this evil, and they're saved. God took the image of something evil, he twisted it around into something good. Likewise, we look upon something terrible, something evil, the crucified Son of God, lifted up on a cross, the Son whom we have killed. And in that death, we find the solution to our own suffering and death. The serpent lifted up in the desert saves when people look upon it. Christ lifted up on the cross saves when we look upon him. You know, God's plans for our lives are very mysterious. But salvation history shows us again and again that God, he can make use of the least expected people and events, even suffering, to somehow bring us back to himself. We think about all the difficulties we have in life. Maybe like these stories, those challenges, maybe they're as big as war or the conquering of kingdoms or deadly snakes. Or maybe perhaps they're more like an illness that we're suffering, or maybe some wrong that has been done to us by family or neighbors, the loss of a job or unfair teachers or coaches, terrible political leaders, fights with siblings, any cause of suffering or hardship. Somehow, God can use it all for our good if we just stick with him, don't rebel against him, return to him. All of these hardships, when united with the saving cross of Christ, can be turned around in some mysterious way for some greater and even eternal good. The fact is that no matter how far we go astray in life, no matter what we do to run from God, and no matter how much we suffer the effects of our sins for going astray from the Lord's plan for us, he loves us enough to continually and always offer us a way back home to himself. And that's why we celebrate this Laetare Sunday, this word that means rejoice. In the midst of this penitential season of Lent, we rejoice that soon we will look upon certainly the crucified Christ, but also the risen Christ of Easter. And as we look upon him, we will be saved. Amen.